Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Worship Learners Podcast. This is episode one. We're so glad that you have joined us for this, that you found us, and we hope you enjoy your time. Just a quick note, if you haven't already listened to episode zero, we released a little bit of a trailer first, kind of give some background and information as to what we're trying to accomplish through this podcast. So if you haven't listened to that, you might jump to that one and listen to it first. If you don't want to do that, just keep trucking through. That's fantastic. Just one production note. When we started the podcast, Daryl and I had not yet decided on a name. And so sort of haphazardly, we started calling it the Live Worship Podcast. But upon reflection, we didn't feel like that truly spoke to what we were trying to accomplish. And so we renamed to the Worship Learners Podcast because leaders are learners and worship leaders should always be learning. And so that's what this podcast is dedicated to. So all that to say, when you hear us refer to the podcast as the Live Worship Podcast, don't be confused. I think by the next episode or episode three, we will have caught up and changed to the right name when we're discussing. This is the Worship Learners Podcast. We just are learning as we go. And kind of working on the fly here. So again, we're grateful that you've joined us and we hope you'll stick with us as we learn together. So enjoy. What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode one of the Live Worship Podcast. Episode one, Daryl.
Woo, woo! Let's do this!
In case you missed our little trailer that we put out last week, this is our first time doing a podcast together. We're a couple of worship leaders who want to speak and encourage and talk to worship leaders from our experience and what we've learned along the way. So, man, we're so glad you've joined us and hope you walk away with some encouragement here. We talked a little bit in episode zero about who this is for, but by and large, Daryl and I, we've had experience in small, medium-sized churches, and so there are lots of resources out there for large churches with large budgets, and those are great. This is certainly nothing to detract from those. This is an ad for anybody who may look at the large churches and say, that's not my context. So where can I get some encouragement and some resource for where I'm at? So this is for, you know, churches who have 350 people or less and who are looking to lead their congregation faithfully in music and art. And yeah, so this is who it's for. So my name is Matt. I am a worship leader in Warner Robins, Georgia. And my co-host, Daryl, you want to tell a little bit about yourself?
Well, yeah, my name is Daryl. And I was a worship leader up until February of this year. Now I am still in ministry, but I was a worship leader up until February for years in multiple different churches. And it's something that I am truly passionate about. So I was glad when Matt brought this up, because now I'm not a full-time worship leader. This allows me to kind of scratch that itch, you know, if I would say that. So I'm excited about this, man. And I'm excited about what we can learn from each other and share for others.
So this is a real thrill for me, too. Daryl and I actually work together in our day jobs, which is we work for a full service marketing company. So now we get to extend the relationship into a podcast. But so Daryl, you've been with M&R for M&R, not a sponsor of the show.
Not yet, at least.
Not yet. That's right. But M&R Marketing and Macon, Georgia, full service marketing company with a team of about 18 people. You should check us out. We can help you out. Anyway, not a sponsor. but Daryl. How long have you been with the company?
Yo, you want to hear something crazy? As of us recording today, tomorrow should be my anniversary, if I'm not mistaken.
No way. Oh, man, come on. 1 year anniversary?
Yeah. Yeah.
Dude, that's awesome.
Hopefully M&R remembers. So if we go tomorrow, there's no anniversary email going out.
If you don't see your picture on Instagram tomorrow, somebody's getting a
It's gonna be
real ugly
our
email.
official inside joke. I'm not even gonna bring it up.
Oh, I am. So what that means is that Daryl, tomorrow it will be like official that I've known you for exactly 366 days because it was a leap year. So
That's true. That's true.
that's awesome. Daryl is a phenomenal graphic designer on our team at M&R, and he also does his own stuff. He's Mr. Daryl Pinnock. Did I say that right? Pinnock?
Dude,
I don't know how
spot
you say your
on.
last
Like,
name.
you officially should get like a medal because no one gets it like that. No one. Literally.
That's right. That's right. I practiced before I came into the booth. So. But all that to say, you should look up Daryl online. Daryl, what's your handle? What's your web address? Where can people find you?
And everywhere DP creates. It's pretty simple. The two letters DP and the word creates. Very simple.
DP creates. So Daryl is the dopest designer around, not only for our company, but for himself and for he has his own podcast. You want to go ahead and plug your own podcast too while we're at it?
Oh man, this is let's do it.
I'm putting you out there.
Passion behind the art. It's literally all about diving in with the individuals to learn the story behind their passion. That's all it's about. I mean, it's been amazing. Opened a lot of doors. I think in some way, shape, or form, it's connected me to even be working at M&R. So, like, podcasting is like another passion of mine. So that's even why I'm doing this podcast. So, yeah.
Yeah, Daryl is the one who brings any and all podcasting experience to this duo. This as of this recording is my second ever podcast. I've never put a podcast out, never been a guest on a podcast, so this could be a major flop. And if it does, it's entirely on the shoulders of Daryl because he's the one that has the experience. Listen, I can I it's not on me if I screw up. It's on you,
Ah, okay. No
Daryl.
pressure. Appreciate it. No pressure.
That's what I'm here for. Okay, so back to this. So Daryl and I know each other from M&R and share a common bond in all things work, but also in Christ, which has been, I think, it's a quick and easy bond when you both share that bond in Jesus. And so we found that, spent a lot of time eating some lunches together, grabbing some coffee together outside of work, and then I just kind of spitball the idea. I said, man, I've been, considering how can I sort of leverage my influence and my experience from being a worship leader, how can I do that? And had some ideas and some thoughts, and I just told him, hey, I'm thinking about doing a podcast. I think my question was like, what kind of microphone do I need? And Daryl's like, "Well, you doing a po you doing a podcast? I mean, when we recording, bro?"
Oh gosh, I mean, to be honest, man, like once I heard that you were doing something like this, like I just wanted to not necessarily like, of course, help you as much as I possibly can, but like for us to being able to just connect more. Like that's one of the things that I love the most, and that's what podcasting has done. It's helped me to like build some amazing relationships. So I think selfishly, I just wanted to be able to connect more with you and just be more in that worship type deal atmosphere.
Yeah. Well, and you showing any just at all interest was all I needed to say, all right, let's go. Because it's been something I've been thinking about for a bunch of years and have started and stopped on. So you just saying, let's do it.
And you
That's all I
know me
need, man.
already. Like, as I told you, I think I sent you a text today. It was just like, ready or not, here I come. Like, I'm so much like ready to go on something. I don't know if
Yeah.
that's a good or a bad thing, but like, you tell me you want to do something, you need some accountability. I'm your guy for you, because I'm gonna be ready to go.
That's right. The other thing you should know about Daryl is that, and I don't know this to be true, but I'm pretty well convinced that he doesn't sleep. He's got so much going on and he cranks out so much work. Like, he's like, on top of what he does for our company, he's got his own podcast and then he's designing just random like logos that he'll be posting online. Like, I don't think he sleeps. I'm pretty sure. Am I wrong, Daryl?
Maybe not enough. I tried to do a catch up on the
That's
weekend,
right.
but it's little bit of a struggle, but you know what? I'm not even mad at it, man. Not even mad at it. But I'm doing much better. I mean, I'm going from 4 to 6.
Yeah, here we sit 10:30 at night on a Tuesday night. He's doing better, folks. That's good. It's good to know. If this
Oh
is better,
gosh.
bro.
Nah, but though
Oh man.
with this quarantine, it's allowed me that if I need to get up a little bit later, I can. For sure.
That's right. That's right. And I'll say this too, man. I've been not I don't like love the idea of quarantine, but it's given some more margin in my life to be able to even do something like this. So if it weren't for a quarantine, I don't think I would have done it. So I need to say a couple other things. One is that there are a lot of podcasts out there, and there are podcasts geared toward worship leaders. And so recognize that, realize that. No competition at all. I see zero competition between us and anybody else in what they're doing. Again, just we're looking to be a value add for whatever it is that God's done in our lives that we can share with y'all. So that begs the question though, so what is it? What do we bring to the table? Why should you listen? And so I just wanted to spend just the first little bit of this podcast kind of explaining who we were, our backgrounds, dig in a little bit to our experience and what church life, what our walk with Christ, and what worship leadership in general has looked like for us. So, Daryl, do you want me to just jump in here? You want me to start, and I'll just tell a
You
little bit about
start and
myself?
I kind of like piggyback, you know? I'm just here to be a Robin, man. Robin all the way.
That's right, tights and all. You should see him. No. Didn't let the cat out of the bag. No, I tell you what, Daryl. Here's what we'll do: is I'll start, but if you got questions, because the truth is, Daryl and I don't know everything about each other. Obviously, having known each other for a year, we've not dug into each other's backgrounds a lot. So, as I talk, Daryl, if you have questions, ask, and I'm going to do the same for you.
Facts.
Sound good? All right. So, I'll give the brief history of Matt Evans. That should be fun. So, I was raised in a Christian home. My dad was a pastor. He was a pastor of a church in a small town. The town was like 3,000 people large, and the church that we went to was about 150 people. He was the pastor. So I grew up in that environment. I grew up where like all of his deacon board like practically raised me to the point that if I was cutting up in church, they had full rein to like call me out, maybe spank me. I don't remember that, but maybe. And my dad's always been involved in ministry for 50 years, which I think is awesome, dude. Like 50 years of
Wow.
ministry, he's given his life to the church and loves people, loves the Lord, loves the church. And I would say just right off the bat, I stand on his shoulders to a large degree. Not only did he raise me in Christ, but he also raised me to love the church and to invest my time, gifts, and talents into the church. So, just because I was raised in ministry doesn't mean that that was necessarily my lot in life. It's not inherent that I would I would be involved in ministry, but that was a call. And I can remember vividly being 15, 16 years old, having that stirring. I came to Christ when I was 8. So, as again raised in church and in the Lord, that was a pretty quick I think my redemption story is really quick. Then the call to ministry was something that happened over time, 15, 16, 17 years old. And of course, I was never called to be a pastor or preacher. God gave me the gift of music. As long as I can remember, I can remember being like 8 or 9 years old in my room, like playing an air baseball bat. That was my guitar, like playing guitar. I can't believe I just said that out loud. But music has just always been that thing in my life. I always wanted to play music, and so 15, 16, that kind of started being used. And what happened was I was in a small youth group of about 20 kids at my church, and the youth pastor one day was like, "Hey Matt, you play a little guitar, right?" And I was like, "Oh, yeah, I'm learning." He's like, "Lead some songs for us on Wednesday nights, our youth group meeting. Lead some songs." And he just gave me the chance, took a risk, and almost would say like the rest is history. although there's a lot in between. So I started leading for my youth group. And then fast forward a couple of years later, we had a small college in my hometown, a little JUCO, a little junior college. My alma mater, shout out to Middle Georgia, what is now Middle Georgia State, Middle Georgia College back in the day. But they had a real strong college ministry that we were a part of, and some guys wanted to start a band and lead on the they did Monday night worship. Wanted to start a band, and so they knew of my experience. And they're like, hey, you sing, right? You play guitar. It's like, yeah, you know, I've done it, whatever. And we started a band, started leading every Monday night. And the weirdest thing happened is that we were doing that every Monday night for just this college ministry. And all of a sudden, churches from around the area started calling.
Wow.
Like, hey, they were like, hey, we heard you got a band. Like, you heard wrong. No, that's not what we said. They're like, yeah, sure, whatever. And we just started playing around, man. And we played in every small church in the Tri-County, Middle Georgia area for 3 or 4 years. So at that point I was like, you know what? This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to be a rock star for Jesus. I don't know if you ever had that, like that was your goal in life, Daryl.
Music will, even when you don't, you're not actually a rock star, music will make you feel like you are.
Oh yeah. There's no doubt. There's no doubt. And make no mistake, the pride of a musician is always there, right? You got that pride that you want to do it.
Oh, gosh.
So it quickly turned in from just leading worship to like, man, I'm gonna do this for a living. I'm going to be a rock star for Jesus. And, you know, God had other plans, and that's good. Because I would have left to my own, I wrecked my life. I've found that out, Daryl.
Wow.
So college, I graduated. And I remember I had to do an internship. I was a mass comm major, mass communications major. And I remember I had to do an internship, and the lady was like, you know, you can do it at the news station or you can do it for a local paper. And I was like, look, I'm going to be in ministry my whole life. Can I just do the internship for my church down here? And I remember telling her that, and I said it begrudgingly because that wasn't what I necessarily wanted. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what, but I knew that's what God had called me to do.
Wow.
So I did an internship with the church, graduated college, and then the Lord opened the door for us to go serve in North Alabama as a youth pastor.
Wow.
So I'd been playing music like nonstop for 7 years. That was my thing. And then God said, here, do youth ministry, which involved like zero music, right? So we did that, went to North Alabama, and just followed the call. Like, okay, this is the door. God's open. We're going to do it. And did youth ministry for a couple of years. And I can remember going to sleep at night, laying my head on my pillow and asking my wife, like, I just don't know what God wants to do with this music thing. I'm not even using it. It's just going to waste. Like, why am I here? What's the deal? So we served a couple of years in student ministry. And then the lead worship pastor at that church, his role changed at the church. And so he's no longer doing the music. And the pastor just came to me. He's like, hey, look, I know this is in your blood. This is your background. You want to be our next worship leader? And I said, nope.
What?
Immediately I was like, no, I don't want to do that. I don't know why. I think I, at that point I was like, man, I've invested 2 years in the student ministry. We're just getting started. Like, why would I want to stop that?
Gotcha.
But we sat on it for a couple of weeks, just prayed about it. And he kept talking to me, and it was just clear that was God's door opening up for us. And so, that point was about 2006, I guess, came the worship pastor there. And, so we served in Alabama for 7 years, and then God called us to Clearwater, Florida, where we spent 7 years as a worship pastor, down there. And then, God called us to Macon, Georgia, and not only to Macon, but out of full-time vocational ministry and into, at that point, was volunteer ministry. So here's my philosophy for everybody and for you, Daryl, is that there's no difference between paid ministry and volunteer ministry. We're all serving the Lord and serving His church. The only difference is one gets paid by the church and the other doesn't. It's kind of my philosophy, and not everybody believes the same. But for me, volunteer or paid, it doesn't matter. We're still here to serve Jesus, serve His church. That's it. So God called us to Macon. So we were here about a year, and then a friend of mine started to plant a church locally. And so here we are helping plant a church now. We have a church of about 90 people right now. It's just a core group. We've been going for 7 months and leading worship on a weekly basis again. And all of my experience in those three churches have been churches of 350, 400 or less. Alabama was a church of about 400. In Florida, it was a church of about 200, 175 to 200. And, you know, now I'm in a church with like 90 people. And, you know, in large part, numbers don't really matter. It's whoever God's entrusted to that church is all that really matters. But I do know that there's significant difference in a church who has, you know, 1,000 or 2,000 people and a large budget compared to a church who might be smaller and have a smaller budget. So that's just my experience and kind of why after 20 years now of leading in those different contexts, you know, just that's my heart is to try to help guys like me who may be younger, who may be just starting out, or who may be older or same age and who may just be like hitting a wall, maybe finding some frustration with trying to find resources or encouragement for a job that sometimes can be, you know, kind of difficult. So, all right, Darryl, I've talked and talked. Now let's hear about you, bro. Tell us your background and yeah, let's hear about you.
All right, so my background. So for me, I mean, unfortunately, I didn't grow up. That's kind of, all right, so this is going to make sense. So I wasn't born in this country. I was born in a different country. I was born in Jamaica. And one thing I learned, I didn't learn it until when I came to the States, was that in Jamaica, in countries outside of the U.S., you are expected to grow up sooner than planned. So when I came to this country, I was probably going to the seventh. No, I was going to, yeah, the seventh grade, right? But when I came to this country, I had the mind of a ninth grader. I was preparing for high school, but when I came to this country, I was going to junior high school. So, and that's just because of how things are. You're just expected to grow up sooner. So when I say I didn't grow up in a church, like most of the times, you're already in the church before you're 12, outside, especially in Jamaica, because it was a very Christian-driven country. So you're expected to know Christ. You're in the church before then. I had no influence in the church. None. Like, we had religious education as a part of our public school curriculum, and I still had no desire for the church. I came to this country. My mom got saved. And when I came, I had an amazing mama. When I came, I had an even better mom. So her transformation is what influenced me to give my heart to Christ. And that's, so for me, I feel like I didn't really necessarily, I didn't grow up in the church, even though I was a pre-teenager, 13, when I gave my heart to Christ. So, I mean, I guess I'm still young enough, but I felt like I didn't really know the church until then. I wasn't used to the church. I wasn't used to what to do. I wasn't used to how to handle when the Holy Spirit is moving. I wasn't used to none of that. Like, most of the time, me and my brother, we'd be in there laughing, straight up just laughing at people. That's awesome. Just straight up laughing at people because we didn't, like, it wasn't a part of my culture. And yes, it was a part of my culture, but I didn't, it's crazy. Like, I was in a very Christian predominant country, but I didn't really see Christ until when I came to the States. And there's tons of people that are from Jamaica that had a complete opposite experience. That was just my experience. So yeah, I came to this country. I mean, I gave my heart to Christ and I was always involved in church, always from from I gave my heart to Christ. I had a passion for it. I just felt like I had a goal to show everyone how cool Jesus is, because that's what I experienced. I didn't really experience the scare to come to Christ. I didn't really experience, you know, like I got broken down and I have to give my heart to Christ. I didn't experience it. And I know a lot of people that's done a lot for them. That's moved mountains for them to kind of feel like a yoke is lifted off you. But I didn't experience that. Mine was just, I was loved into the church, and that was through my mom. So I was like, yo, this is amazing. I want to let everybody feel this. It's not just this, oh, you can't do this, but it's, no, you can get this. And that was kind of like my whole mindset the whole entire time. And one day I was in this church, very small church at that time. It's like a storefront. We're in New York, so everything is all crammed up together. So, I don't remember, probably like 60 people, maybe. And I love this church, and my mom said, oh, we're moving. And she named some place that I didn't even know existed. Still in New York, but we're moving across the other side of the state, probably like an hour and a half from my church, and I was devastated because I love that church. And I was like, I can't believe my mom did this. And we used to travel back and forth from Mount Vernon, which is more upstate New York, to Brooklyn. And my mom was like, this is enough. I'm not going to let these kids have me doing this. We end up finding a church. And this is where my Christian walk took a complete different turn. Like it went to a complete different level. This is where I met, outside of my mother, the greatest mentor that I've ever come in contact with, because one, he saw something in me that I didn't even know existed, and two, he and now I'm seeing other men like this, but he was able to embrace whatever is new and whatever is coming and still keep the essence of the tradition. And I feel like that's an art in itself. Most of the times we have ministers on either side, like one that just is completely, completely old school and one that's, you know, just throws away everything that's traditional, everything from the old school, and is modern all through and through. But he was able to balance that. And he just kind of believed in me. I started being a leader, my first leadership experience. My first sermon was at 16, and my first leadership, I was in charge of a ministry at 16, about to be 17. And through this entire process, like, I was never, ever, this is my first time. I'm at a bigger church now, just kind of forced forward a little. I'm at a bigger church now, but this is my first time actually on a staff. But all this time I've been volunteer, so I was complete opposite from you. All this time I've been a volunteer, and you're right, it's like completely the same thing. I took over an all boys ministry, and at one point I had, at 16 going on to about 20, between 16 and 20, at one point I had almost 70 teenage young men in a room.
Dude, you were in charge of 70 teenagers?
Easy.
At that age?
I mean, it didn't start out like that, but eventually, dude, that's what we grew into. We did some amazing things, man. Like, my last day at that church, leaving now, I'm a grown man, married. We put on a play. First time, we called them the Young Men's Ministry. The name was Sons of Zion. First time, nothing, anything like that's ever done. We put on a play, we produced it, we put it all together, and the church couldn't believe it. At this time, the church that I was going to, they had two services, it was close to about 400 people. So, we put it on, like, it was fundraising, like, we didn't get no help, and we dominated, and I was just proud of that, because, like, you could see some of the teenage guys, like, one guy, he was like the star of the show. He was technically the bad guy, But so that was like my pride and joy. I mean, eventually singing became like singing wasn't my first thing. I was just always in leadership in my church, and singing was something that I did. And one day my youth pastor said, "I want you to lead the choir." And I was like, "Are you sure about that?" And she was like, "Yeah, I want you to lead the choir." And eventually, like, we had a choir, we went all over the place to sing, and that really opened a door. I eventually became the worship leader for that church, and like, worship is something to me that it really unlocked my connection to Christ. It really unlocked how I can clearly communicate with them. And most importantly, it helped me to be that conduit between Christ and someone else getting close to Christ. And that was probably the most special thing for me, to kind of help someone say, "Okay, I'm going to sing this song, and I'm hoping that through this song, you will see Christ in your mind." And that was something that really was super special in me. I end up moving from New York, coming to Georgia, like going to a even smaller church, like from when I first got saved. And I spent 10 years at that church helping, like literally from grassroots, helping that church grow to when I left, they had their own music department, musicians like coming in, and we had riches of like a music department. Now I'm not sure what it's like now, but like I know that when I left, it was just that time. When we came to Georgia, it was clear, me and my wife, it was like we didn't plan to come help build a church, but it was clear that okay, we are here for a season. So through all of this, I mean, like that's kind of like a brief of my story. I mean, there's so many different facets of it. Like music was my ministry slash hobby. Like it was just something that I did to stay connected and to serve the church. It was never something that I pursued as a career or anything like that. There's so much facet of this. There's so much God has given me through music, and it's something that it gives me a deep connection with Christ. But I think, I mean, I could be talking for years and years and years and years, but yeah, that's kind of like, gist of my story.
I know, right? Like trying to like
Condense it.
yeah, condense this into both we get what 10 minutes a piece to share our backgrounds. That there's just no way. There's no way. Too much water under the bridge to do that in this
Yeah,
short
I'm
amount of
pretty
time.
sure more is going to come out as
That's
we do
right.
more episodes.
That's right. Real quick, I have two follow-up questions. One is right now you just recently changed churches. And right now you're not involved in the music ministry at all, is that right?
No, I'm there to help the creative team. I'm there as a designer now down the road. Yes, but I'm a person like I like to pace myself. I like to first of all do what I was asked to be there for. I'll do that and then see where God goes from there. This is a much bigger church. It's probably the biggest church I've ever been to. But it's just something that came out of nowhere. I wasn't looking for this. Came out of nowhere.
Yeah, that was going to be my question, is how you feel about like not being directly involved in music right now? Do you miss it? Is that something that like
Yeah, I do miss it, and I feel like it's going to happen. It's just timing, I just don't want to be thirsty. I'm just always very calculated on stuff like that because it's at my fingertips. I mean, I'm on the staff, and if I want to talk to the music director, like I can at any time and put that out there, but like it's just not the time for it yet. I mean, I'm on staff there. We'll see where it goes from there. It's just like I'm always like super methodical with stuff like that.
Sure. That makes sense. All right, my other question is, because we're going to talk a lot about church stuff, right, as we get together, and I'm curious to know like what your church background is, and I guess I'm asking like not that it really matters because I don't care. There's no divide here, but like denominational, like do you have a particular stream that you've been a part of?
the first place I was at, that was one denomination. I didn't find it out until after, but technically it's Pentecostal. But you know, they have their different branches off. But I stayed in this specific Church of God. I stayed in that specific denomination for this long because of what I experienced there. And I felt like my faith and my maturity grew greatly in the youth slash young adult ministries around. You know what I mean? So that's why I stayed there. It wasn't so much because it's a specific denomination, because I'm in a completely different denomination right now. I think, I want to say, because they don't even talk about it at all. And I'm new at the church, but I think it's either Baptist or Methodist. And those can be kind of, they're kind of close. So it's one of the two.
Yeah. So much of those denominational lines, thankfully, I think, have blurred, and it's hard to even know when people don't, like tout it like they used to. So that's,
Yeah, I think that's
yeah.
probably going to be an
I
episode in itself. Oh my
it will be. It will be.
gosh.
Yes. But the reason I asked that is because your experience, if you're, in a Pentecostal side, will be much different than mine, because I come from conservative Baptist. Like frozen chosen, like, or at least close. I don't guess we're Presbyterian, but anyway, so my denominational heritage is singular. I've always been in Baptist, not because I think it's superior. It's just what I knew, what I was called to, and where I've been my entire life. So what I love about that is you'll bring some different perspective than I can bring, and I think that's
Yeah,
great.
may get a
So,
little too excited
and
to get that
I.
Pentecostal fire going.
That's right. It's gonna get real up in here, and I'm not gonna know what to do. But regardless, anybody that's listening, wherever their background is, I hope they find that, it doesn't matter. We literally, I do not care if we are bonded in
Facts.
Christ and the shed blood of Jesus Christ, and that's it, man. Like the rest is just like it's just
And you
details,
know
you
what the
know?
crazy part is? Like, we've known each other for years, for a year, right? It feels like years, but we've known each other for a year, right? And we talk about faith, we talk about Christ, and we talk about just, the day-to-day being a Christian man. This is the first time we've ever talked about denomination. And that should just show you how not important that is. And I hope this podcast will be that vehicle to kind of show that also, that two dudes from a completely different, two different denominations. When I say completely two different denominations, like the essence of completely two different denominations, but how relationships are so much more important and how people communicate. So much more important than a specific, umbrella.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I would wager a guess that this would come up for the purposes of this podcast, but outside of this, it's not something that we'll ever spend a whole lot of time on though.
Facts.
'Cause I just don't care to. I just don't care to. So, well, that's just a little bit about both of us. Listen, as Daryl said, it would take 10 podcasts to really talk about our entire lives, and that's not what we're here for, but we did want to just give a background as to who we are, who you're hearing from, and why even we have any, right to do a podcast like this. So that's a little bit about who we are. We're gonna change gears up a little bit here, and we're gonna go to, so there's gonna be different segments that I hope that we can do each week, and one is we want to highlight certain songs. And we'll just bring some songs that we're finding either meaningful in our own personal worship. Maybe we're finding it's a song that we've really connected with in our churches. Maybe it's a just a new song we heard on the radio. It doesn't matter, but we want to highlight at least a song a week and just throw that out there, talk a little bit about it, why we like it, what it means to us. And so Daryl has a song, right? You're going to highlight a song for us, is that right?
I'm pretty sure everyone, like most people, probably know this song, but if not, the best version is by Kerry Job. Yes. Yeah, Kerry Job. She did it with, it's like a collaboration with Elevation, and it's The Blessing. It's just a song for, like, when you want to speak over someone, speak over yourself. Just speak God's favor and God's promise over yourself or over someone else, this is like the go-to song for that. I mean, it just really speaks to that. And there are times when we need to hear that. We need to hear, you know, or be reminded of what God's promises are toward us.
Yes. And listen, there's nothing better than singing straight scripture. It's one of those that, I don't know about you, Daryl, but that's a prayer I pray over my kids almost every night when I'm putting them in bed. That's just the prayers. May the Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you and give you peace. And then, of course, Carrie breaks it down with that, like, and your children and their children and their children and their children. And that's like...
That's the part. That's that part that gets you, man. Yes, absolutely.
You just speak that blessing over generations, man. Yeah, that's a good one, Daryl. All right, so what was the name of the song again? It's Carrie Job, and it's called...
The Blessing.
Sweet. Carrie Job and Elevation Worship, The Blessing. So go check it out. The next thing that we want to do, we're going to highlight a worship resource. So here's what I found in my years is there are tons of resources out there that will help you lead worship. And there's some that aren't helpful at all. And so I've got like probably 10 literally that I visit almost every week. And so just going to highlight one of those. Maybe you already know of it and you just reinforce what you already know. And maybe some of them you don't know. So this week I want to highlight a resource. It's called loopcommunity.com, as in L-O-O-P, loopcommunity.com. And what they provide is background tracks that you can use to either provide all of your instrumentation or supplement instrumentation. So what's great about this, if you've got a small team, you can enhance your sound by using some of these loops. You know, for some of us who don't have very deep teams, this could be an invaluable resource. I had a team where we had like one guitarist and a bass player, and we just needed that extra guitar, or have a drummer that call out the last minute, and I couldn't replace him. Just pop in the drums, pop in the electric guitar track. So they have all of the current worship songs, every song you could possibly think of.
I have a very important question. Is it free?
The tracks cost, but there's different levels of depending on what you want. You can get a split track for $10 or $12, and then it can go on up if you want all the individual instrumentation. So, yeah, each song costs. But
still a good price, though. It's not a bad price.
It's not bad for what you're getting. It's a good value. So check it out. Loopcommunity.com. Okay, we're wrapping it up here. One of the last things we want to do each week is just give a scriptural encouragement. So I'm going to toss it back to Daryl.
Yeah, so this scripture, it kind of ties into the song too, and it's Hebrews 10 verse 23, and it says, "Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise." That's the New Living Translation, Hebrews 10 verse 23. "Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise."
Man, that's good, Daryl. That's good. I don't even want to add anything to that. I just want to say amen and say thank you.
Amen.
Yes, yeah. Yes. Well, listen.
For the first episode, we're sending some blessings, Yahweh. Some blessings.
I love it. Well, listen, thanks so much for tuning in to episode 1 of the Live Worship Podcast. Join us next week. I think next week we're going to just try to talk about some of the foundations of like, how do you even get started leading worship? You probably already know this. If you're doing it, you probably already know. But it's great to go back and say like, why? Why do we do this? What does it look like to start a process of leading worship on a weekly basis? Just talk about some of the fundamentals. It's kind of like, you know, we go back to sports, Daryl. When you start like playing a sport, what do you have to focus on first? The fundamentals. And you always you always go back to that. Even if you're, you know, at the top professional level, they still focus on those fundamentals.
Facts.
And so we want to do that too. So next week, that's our plan. Daryl, man, thank you so much. This has been For me, I don't care if anybody never, nobody ever listens to this, dude. It's so good for me to be able to do this. Thank you.
Dude, this has been epic, man. And I'm just like, I'm already like seeing ahead. And it just, I feel like this is going to be, I don't know what it's going to do for the community, but for both of us, I feel like this is going to open something inside of us. And I'm excited about that.
Yeah, and real quickly, I don't want to oversell, but we're going to try to provide some additional resources besides just the audio. There's going to be some, hopefully some downloadables. Maybe one day we'll get a website up. Who knows? Who knows where this will go, but we're along for the ride and looking forward to it. So join us. Come with us.
And please remember to live worship.